Lord, we thank you, Lord, tonight, because every time that we come to the Word, we know it brings light. And the Bible says it, we believe it, the entrance of your Word brings light. And when the light shines, the darkness cannot comprehend it. Let the light shine tonight in the hearts of the children of light, in Jesus' mighty name. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord in the beginning, he said, let there be, you know. And we just said, let the light shine. And in Jesus' name, it's going to shine in your hearts today. I want to read one verse here in Psalm 127. And verse 3. He said, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, for they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now that's what I'm talking about tonight, is speaking with the enemies in the gate. Can you say amen? Speaking with the enemies in the gate. Now he's talking about the young people. You know, so we are going to be revamping this youth night, you know, because we want to see the power of God moving among the young people. Amen? Amen. How many people here think they can speak with the enemies in the gate? Amen. Can you speak with the enemies in the gate? Amen. Well, you know, you got to go beyond that camp to speak with the enemies in the gate, you know. You got to take the fight to the enemy. Amen? Amen. Don't back down from the enemy. You got to take the fight. You got to go behind enemy lines. And you got to take the fight to the devil, you know. But we're going to see how to do all of that. Because, you know, I hear from young people all the time. You know, they're always saying, oh, we are struggling with sin and all these kind of things and so forth like that. You know, God has a promise for the young people of every age, but especially in the last days. Now, how many of you know that we are in the last days? And in case you don't know, you know, we are in the last days. You know, so these promises that God gives in the Bible, and I'm going to read one of them to you here, and then we are going to see, you know, how we should walk in the promises of God, and how we can speak with the enemies in the gate, and how we can really live, you know, a righteous life. Because, you know, I hear from young people all the time that says, well, you know, we don't know how to do that, and we're struggling with this and that. And I'm going to tell you some things tonight. Praise God. You know, on the day of Pentecost, you all know the story, and if you don't know it, read it in Acts chapter 2. And I'm not going to, you know, read all of that. I'm just going to read verse 17 of Acts chapter 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days. Now, so we are in the last days. Now, that's a definite, it shall come to pass. That's not, you know, maybe it'll happen, you know. No. It says, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith the Lord. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. You know, we need to get some young people to start prophesying. By the Spirit of the Lord, though, not by the flesh. And we're going to find out, you know, more about that. And your young men shall see visions. So we're talking about, you know, the Spirit of God being poured out. Poured out. And here's what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 39 of the same chapter. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now there is something about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Now tonight I'm not speaking about speaking in tongues or anything like that at all. I'm talking about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, because there's a big and a huge difference And we're going to be finding out about that in this youth night, because many of our young people think that, you know, as long as we speak in tongues, then that's it. No. We're talking about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, for those of you who are here tonight, you are blessed, because, you know, I'm going to give you the Word of God tonight, and if you take a hold of it, your life will never be the same. Amen? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, this promise is unto you and to all that are far off and all of that. So, you know, the anointing that comes through the Holy Spirit, you know, is what gives you, you know, that power of regeneration. You know, that's regeneration. You know, that's what gives you that power. Now, there are many quote-unquote Christians, there are many people that go to church that are not regenerated. You know, they just, you know, they go to church, you know, may even sing in a choir and do all of these things and so forth like that, but they are not regenerated. And we're going to find out why are they not regenerated. You know, we're going to find that out tonight. But the power of the Holy Ghost is present and available to help you to attain full regeneration. It's called the washing of regeneration. Washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. If you want to turn to Titus, I'm going to read it to you there. The washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. It says here in Titus chapter 3, it says verse 4, but after the kindness of the love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of our Holy Ghost. You know, the Holy Ghost must be renewed, you know, all of the time. You know, it's just a one-time experience and so forth like that. You know, so we've got to have that renewing of the Holy Spirit. The renewing of the Holy Spirit. It is so critical. So critical. You know, so the anointing that God has given you and that is present through the Holy Spirit is a genuine anointing, and it is not a lie. You can turn to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27. And let's see what it has to say about that. The anointing that the Lord gives through the Holy Spirit is not a lie, but it is a genuine anointing. He said, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. See, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is the truth, and is no lie, and even as he hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now that's what I'm going to be talking about today, is abiding in that anointing. Not just receiving the anointing, but abiding in the anointing. You know, and that's what makes all of the difference. Abiding in the anointing that can enable you to speak with the enemies in the gate. Now, the first thing that I want to deal with tonight is the issue of righteousness. That's the first thing I want to deal with tonight. The issue of righteousness. Because this thing, to speak with the enemies in the gate, you know, you can't do it.
Amen.
You know, unless you are righteous. You can't do it. You know, so we're going to deal with that. And this is not, you know, this is not the end of this. We're going to be dealing with this in the youth night, until we free the fire that is inside our youth and let everybody be burning perpetually for Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And then we're going to burn out all that chaff and all that fleshy stuff and so on like that. You know, and, you know, as we go through here, you know, you're going to have to make a decision, you know, who you want to serve. You're either going to serve the Lord or you're going to serve sin. And that's what we are going to be dealing with, because the goal is God wants you to stand on your watch, speak with the enemies in the gate, and he wants you to do some things, you know, you young people. But, you know, you can't get it done, you know, if your life is still, you know, one foot here, in the Lord and one foot in the world and so forth like that. You know, so let's find out in 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to say some things tonight that might be startling to you, but it'll be the Word of God. So I want you to listen. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7. It says, little children, let no man deceive you. You know, people say that you can't be righteous. Well, that's not true. You know, that was absolutely not true. And if you ever read a scripture in the Bible that said, you know, there is none righteous, no, no one. That was then, before Jesus came. Amen. See, that was then. Jesus went to the cross and he finished it. See, and he imputed his righteousness on us. He became sin, that we through, you know, his sin, I mean taking our sins on him, might have the righteousness of God. That's what the Bible says. And we're going to be looking at this thing. So, you know, you young people think that, you know, nobody can be righteous. You are dead wrong. Amen? Praise God. You are dead wrong. So let's find out about that. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. So don't say for one word, for 1 minute, that nobody can be righteous. Well, that's your problem right there. See, if you think that, well, you see, you know, nobody's righteous, nobody can be this, that's your problem right there. See, so let's find out what else the Bible says. He that committed sin is of the devil. That's it, point blank. You see, commit sin, you're of the devil? Absolutely. But that's what the scripture says. See, the problem with people is they don't believe the word of God. See, but if you believe the word of God, this word will quicken you. See, that's what the word of God does. He that committed sin is of the devil, because the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God. Now listen to me, you young people, tonight. This is thus saith the word of the living God. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Why? Because the seed of God remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. That's absolutely the scripture. You know, you say, is that possible? Well, sure. And we're going to find out here tonight. See? You know, so we want you to change. There's got to be a mind shift in this thing. You know, there's got to be a mind shift. You got to change, you know, your thinking. Instead of thinking, it's not possible. You know, you've got to know that the anointing, you know, that you receive is not a lie. And if you abide in that anointing, you can do exactly what this verse says. Now, Jesus said in John 8 and 34, he said, you know, whosoever committed sin is a servant of sin. Because he was talking to those people and he told them that they needed to be set free. He said, if the Son of Man shall set you free and so forth. They said, well, we are not bound, you know, and so forth. You know, we are free, we are children of Abraham. And he looked at them and said, if you ever committed sin, you are the servant of sin. That's exactly right. So those of you who say, well, I'm struggling with sin, then you are the servant of sin. See, sin already has dominion over you. But that's not what the scripture says. The Bible actually says that sin shall not have dominion over you. How many of you can say amen to that?
Amen.
Let's read in Romans chapter 6. Now, sir, I've heard some people say, well, tell us how then. You know, well, I'm telling you how tonight, if you will listen. You know, remember Jesus didn't always tell them how, but he told them what to do. You see, so all these excuses that I hear all the time that, well, you know, you don't tell us how to do it and so forth, that's why we, you know, we're still falling to sin. Jesus said, go and sin no more. Didn't sit down and preach a whole sermon of how not to sin anymore. He just told him, go and sin no more. It's your choice. You've got to make a choice. See? And I'm going to tell you some things here tonight. Let's read Romans chapter 6 and see, you know, what the Bible has to say about this sin nature. And see what, you know, what we can do or what you can do and how your life should actually be rather than, you know, be under sin all the time. He says in Romans 6 and verse 14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you." This was one of the first scriptures I learned as a young man when I first gave my life to Christ. See, in our generation, you know, we were taught to believe and to understand that you must not sin. And that if any man comes to Christ, he is a new creature. You know, and that we have to repent and forsake the old ways. See, but that's not the kind of preaching that we hear today. Today, the way people get saved, quote unquote, I don't know what they are saved from, if they are still living in sin. Or I don't know what they are saved from, if they are still living in sin. The way, quote unquote, is, you know, they tell them today, well, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you have eternal life. Well, that's the problem right there. So many of you who are struggling, if you say you are struggling with sin, it's because that's your problem right there. You say, well, you know, I accept the Lord, so I accept the Lord. No, there's no such thing in the Bible. There is no such thing in the Bible as accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's not in the Bible. You must repent. See, you must, you know, the accept mentality, you know, kind of tells you that all you got to do is just say, I accept. No, that's not going to work. That's why people accept and they still live in sin. But you must repent and be born again. There is no shortcut to it. If you are not ready, just pack it up already and just go. You cannot serve the Lord and sin. If you commit sin, you are the servant of sin and you cannot be the servant of the Lord. It's impossible. You've got to choose one. You've got to choose one. You know, so sin shall not have dominion over you. Now, verse 15. You know, because, I mean, sin shall not have dominion over you because we are not under the law, but under grace. Now, some people take this grace and say, well, you know, since we are under grace, all we got to do is just repent. I mean, just say, I'm sorry, Lord. You know, but they don't really repent. They go right back. The dog has gone back to his vomit. So you go right back after, you know, you do it. You know, you say, I'm sorry. And then you go right back. You know, well, then you're not sorry. See, because godly sorrow worketh repentance. How many of you are still with me? Godly sorrow worketh repentance. If you are really sorry, you will repent. What then shall we say? You know, shall we continue in sin? You know, it says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Say, God forbid. You know. Now, here is the way that we were taught when we were growing up. You know. This is the way that I was taught. This is the way I believed. You know. If you say in your mind that, well, I mean, I can always confess, you know, and go on about my business. You know, so you have that in the back of your mind that you can do anything wrong and then just confess and then go on. Well, you don't have the seed of God then. It's that simple. Because if the seed of God remains in you, you will not live a life of sin. You know, so if you still have that mentality that, well, all I got to do is just confess or say, Lord, I'm sorry, and then 2 days from now you're back in the same thing. Well, you don't have the seed of God just yet. Because whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. You know, how can you imagine a child of God, born of God, to be living a life of sin? It's impossible. It's impossible. Those two things don't mix. You say, well, who can do this then? Well, we're going to find out who can do it. The first thing you've got to know is that it is possible to live a life of righteousness. Amen? Now, if you say, well, gee, you know, it's not possible, then you're going to live this kind of wishy-washy life. But if you say, well, you know, I've got to live this life that God called me to, a life of righteousness. You determine in your mind. And don't blame anybody for anything. Don't give any excuses that, well, they don't teach us how not to sin. It's all here in the Bible. If you hide the word of God in your heart, you will not commit iniquity. That's what the Bible says. You know, but, you know, because you don't want to do that, then you blame it on somebody else. No, that's not going to work. Now, the reason why the young people, you know, there's no power, you know, happening and things happening among our young people is because of this kind of, you know, wishy-washy, you know, lifestyle. You know, we can't have that anymore. Amen?
Amen.
You got to choose whom you are going to serve. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 30. Now, listen to what the Bible says about this generation. You might call it Generation Y. We had a Generation X, but now we have a Generation Y. But let's see what the Bible, you know, says about this generation in Proverbs, you know, chapter 30. It says in verse 11, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. He said there is a generation, now verse 12 is where I'm going. There is a generation that are pure in their eyes and yet are not washed from their filthiness. Now that's this generation that I'm talking about. Washed from their filthiness? No, they're not. But they think they are pure in their eyes. You know, there is a generation that is pure in their own eyes. And what's wrong with this generation? Well, it's a shame that all the young people are not here tonight. But they will hear this message again. You know, they will hear it, and everybody is going to hear it one way or another. But this is what is wrong with this generation. Jeremiah, let's take a look at Jeremiah chapter 7. You say, well, you know, gee, that's pretty harsh. No, it is not. You know, that's how you are pulled from the fire. So you've got to hear something strong. You know, this patting people on the back and so forth like that, he's not going to work. You know, I have seen an evil in this generation, a great evil. And what is that evil? You know, what I see among the young people, I don't see young people condemning that which is wrong. I don't even see young people, you know, condemning anything that is wrong. Everybody just thinks everything's all right. You know, and nobody will stand up and condemn anything that any other young person does. Because they say, well, we don't want to be judgmental. Well, you know, the Bible is very clear on these things. It says in the last days, you know, people are going to not only be, you know, lovers of pleasure, but they are going to be haters of God. They are not only going to do evil things, but they are going to have pleasure in them that do those evil things. You know, so we got to be very careful about that. In Jeremiah chapter 7, here's the word of the Lord that came unto Jeremiah. He said in verse 1, hear ye the word of the Lord, all ye Judah, even ye that enter in through these gates to worship the Lord. So, you know, this is not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to people that come into the house of the Lord to worship the Lord and so forth. Jeremiah 7, verse 2. So stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word. Remember, speaking with the enemies in the gate. You know, stand in the gate. Proclaim this word to all them that come into through these gates to worship the Lord. So, you know, all of you that come to the house of the Lord, you know, this is for you. Thus saith the Lord God, amend your ways and your doings. Then I will cause you to dwell in this place. Now that's like entering into his presence and, you know, the abiding anointing of the Lord. But you must amend your ways. And he says, trust not in lying words and say, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, and so forth. He says, for if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, you know, and so forth, that's when he is going to receive you, he said. Now listen to verse 9. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, or fornication? Same thing. That's one plague that is destroying this generation, is fornication. You say fornication? Absolutely. And swear falsely, and burn incense, do all these things, and so forth, walk like the rest of the world, you know, and so on. And then come and stand before me in the presence of the Lord, or come and sing in the praise team, or all these things, you know. And I have seen a great evil in this generation, because, you know, these young people in this generation, they think that as long as they just do music, everything's going to be all right. Well, everything's not going to be all right, you know. You can't do that and live some other kind of life. It's not going to work, you know. And there's a lot of people that are going to be surprised when the Lord comes. A lot of people. See, because when your garments are not white like they should be, and that's one thing we learned when we were kids, is righteousness and holiness. You know, you got to learn that. You got to follow that. You know, they don't teach those things anymore these days, but we're going to start to teach them in this youth now. Righteousness and holiness. That's the first thing about God. In fact, the Bible says the scepter of his throne is the scepter of righteousness. You know, that's the emblem of his throne. That's what his throne is all about. It is the paths of righteousness that leads to the gates of heaven. And it is the gates of hell that stand between you when you are on the paths of righteousness going to heaven that is going to prevent you from getting to the gates of heaven. That's why he said the gates of hell shall not prevail. But you've got to stay on the paths of righteousness. You know, so music and all of these things are not a substitute for the word of God. You know. That's part of the reason why a lot of young people are not here today. Because of the music and all of these things that they do and carry on. Because music has its place. But nothing can take the place of the word of God. Amen?
Amen?
That's right. You know, so is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I have seen it, saith the Lord. You know. And he tells them so many other things. Now, let me bring it down to earth for you. It is this simple. You know, when I was a young man, in my generation, you know, it was a thing of, I don't want to say pride, but it was a goal to not sin. I mean, it was a thing that we strived to not do. See, I mean, you conducted yourself. You knew how to behave yourself in the house of God. You conducted yourself with some certain integrity and pride, you know, and so on. You know, not the arrogant, prideful kind of pride, you know, but the knowing who you are kind of pride, that you are a child of God, and conducting yourself accordingly, you know. And we went about, you know, with that same mentality, you know, knowing that, you know, God wants us to live a righteous life. So that's the first thing. You've got to know that, you know. That's in this walk. If you don't know that, if you don't believe that, and if you don't think that you can live a righteous life, then you're already defeated. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, if you don't have fear of the Lord, or fear your parents even, then, you know, you can get to all kinds of problems. You know, the fear of the Lord will keep you from all of those things. When I was a young man, there were some things that were absolute taboo. Absolute. I mean, it was just you just knew, and you know, I was like, you know, you do this, God's going to strike you down. And that's sin. But there are some degrees of sin. The Bible says, you know, that every sin that a man commits, it's outside his body. But he that's committed fornication sinneth against his own flesh. Because it's a temple of the Holy Spirit. That's the one thing that is an absolute no-no.
But what do we see in this generation? Oh, everybody doing it.
You know, well, they're all, everybody going to hell then. You know, except you all repent. You know, so, you know, you carry it and you be different than everybody else. Amen? You be different than everybody else. You live, you conduct your life as a life of righteousness. And you let everybody see that you're different. Now, once you make up your mind that you are going to serve the Lord and live a righteous life, he will give you the power to do it. Because you can't do it by yourself. You know, that's where a lot of young people fail. Because they think they can do it by themselves and they struggle. Well, you struggle because you have not surrendered. The only thing we struggle about are the things we have not surrendered to God. It's just that simple. You say, well, that's easy for you to say. No, that's not easy for me to say. I was a young man once. You know, and you know, Jesus himself was a young man. You know, I've heard young people say that, well, you know, I mean, some people actually glorify sin. You know, they say that you know, if you fall into all this sin and so forth like that, you know, then you know how to not do it, or how to tell somebody not to do it, you know, and all that. That's nonsense. You know, Jesus was in all points tempted, yet without sin. You know, and he's able to succor to the uttermost them that come to him. Jesus didn't have to experience sin in the flesh in order to know how to, you know, save people from sin. That's nonsense. See, this is a trick of the devil, that the devil tricks young people with. You know, they think, oh yeah, you know, you gotta do these things and so forth. No. So, you know, the life that you live in the flesh, you should live to the glory of God. Amen?
Amen?
That's right. And these things are possible. So the first thing is, you know, it is possible for you to live a life of righteousness. Remember, if you commit sin, you are the servant of sin. You know, and if the seed of God truly is in you, you know, then you won't be living in a life of sin. You say, well, what if I sin then? Am I then condemned? No, you're not. See, but if you have it in the back of your mind that, well, you know, gee, you know, if I sin, I can always come back, you know, then that's the problem right there. It's like saying, you know, let's say married folks, and say, well, you have it in the back of your mind that divorce is an option. Well, then your marriage is never going to be successful. You know, because you're always contemplating that anyway. You know. Or you think that if you are, you know, if you're in school and if things are not going well, you can always drop out of school. Well, that's an option that you are probably going to take one day. Yeah. Or you think on your job, if you're having a hard time, you can always quit. You know, I mean, if you give yourself all these kind of way out excuses, then you're probably going to take it someday. You know, the way out is look unto me and be ye saved. Can you say amen? That's the way out. You know, keep your eyes on Jesus and be not conformed to this world. That's the way out. But be renewed. See, by having your mind renewed, transformed. By having your mind renewed. Hebrews chapter 12, you know, verses 1 and 2. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't be like the world. Now, once you make a decision that you are going to live that kind of life, then you stay away from sin and compromising situations. You know, we've said it before,
If you are running away from sin, don't leave a forwarding address. You know, that's what most people do. You know, one young lady told me one time, you know, she invited a guy, I don't know if it was a boyfriend or whatever, to her house at 2 a.m. or 1 a.m. or whatever. Well, you know, guess the end of that story. You know, so, you know, that's when you say, I am running away from sin, and you leave a forwarding address, and it's going to catch up with you. The Bible says, flee these things. Flee youthful lusts. Flee fornication. So many people are involved with youthful lusts. We've all been young people. You know. But the Bible says, flee these things. You know, don't patronize youthful lusts. Don't stay there and enjoy it, because you are going to end up in sin. And then you will be struggling. See? Because some of these things are like the forbidden fruit. And if you go in there, well, you know, you'll have a real problem. But the Lord can set everybody free. Amen? Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, people. Then once you know, once you determine that, you're going to live a life that is worthy of His name. And you seek Him and He'll give you the power. And then when you have the power, then you can show His power to this generation. And you can be different. And you can speak to the people in the gates. You can speak to them in your schools. You can speak to them on your jobs. You can speak to them wherever you are. Let them see the light of God in you. You know, and you can bring down all those demonic spirit of fornication and all the kinds of things that are going on. You can speak to them and bring them down once you have that power. But you've got to first make a decision for yourself. You know, once you make that decision, then He gives you that power. Then you can begin to speak, pulling down those strongholds. So many strongholds in the generation that need to come down. Amen? And they are coming down. Praise the name of the Lord. And you are the people to bring them down. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, once He gives you that power, you know, then don't shy away from anything. You know, confront the devil and pull down his strongholds. But you got to use that power, you know, that He gives you. And how do you build on that power? Well, if you don't want to read the Word of God, I preached this message at the church several times. If you don't want to read the Word of God, you're not going to grow spiritually. If you don't want to pray, you don't want to spend any time in prayer, you just want to say, Lord, bless me today as I go. And that's the kind of prayer that you pray every day. Well, you're not going to get very far. You know, and if you don't want anything that is deep, you just want, you know, somebody preaches and says it's too hard. Well, you're not going to grow very much. Because then you are still unskillful in the world. All you can drink is milk. And if you drink milk all your life, you are going to have stunted growth. You're not going to have strong bones and be strong. And if you don't eat protein and all these other things that you need. I mean, can you imagine somebody all their life, even after they were weaned from the breast and so forth, all they drank was milk? No. Milk is good, but you got to eat some strong meat too. You know, so you got to do all the things, you know, to build up yourself spiritually. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then you want to show this generation that you are in. You want to show this generation the power of God. The power of God. Now, I'm going to tell you a story of how you show your generation the power of God. Some of you may have heard this story before. But when I was in, this place is called Federal School of Science in Lagos, Nigeria. It's kind of like the first year of college. And so it was a science technology school. And, you know, if you did 1 year there or whatever, then you only had to do 3 years, you know, someplace else.
and get your degree. In any case, when I got to this place, you know, I went to the cafeteria one day, and they had this group that was called the Pirates. They were like a heavy metal, heavy occult, heavy whatever. They were into all kinds of things. I mean, some of the qualifications to be in that group, you had to be like 6 feet tall, huge, muscular, and everything. These people drank blood, they did everything. There wasn't anything that they didn't do. They terrorized everybody. I went to the cafeteria one day, and got my food, and I was looking for a place to sit down, and I saw everybody crowded on all the tables that were in the cafeteria. But there was a set of tables over on this side, one table or so or two that were joined together, and it was empty. But nobody sat on it. And everybody sat on all the other tables, and it was squeezed up together. I carried my tray and I went and sat down on that table. And then every eye turned to look at me. You know, one person actually came over and said something to the effect, "You are either very stupid, or dumb, or very brave, or I don't know what you are. Do you know what table this is?" And I said, "It's an empty table." Praise God. Nobody in the school would sit on that table on account of those pirates and everybody. You know, and I was a skinny little kid. I mean, you know, I was about half this size then. You know, so, you know, I said, I didn't even know who those people were. I said, "Well, you know, if you know what's good for you, better get out of that place." I said, "Why?" He said, "That's the table for the pirates." I said, "Who?" I said, "The pirates." I said, "Well, I don't see they have two heads or pay for two meals." You know, I just sat down. You know, the next thing I know, some of these hefty guys come walking in. It's a true story. And then everybody's thinking, you know, "I told you." I just sat down to enjoy my meal. They come over, you know, and they see me sitting there. And they take one look, and normally, from what I hear, they beat the living lights out of you. They found you on that table. Throw the table off and throw out your food and beat you up. Nobody dared to tell them anything. I was just sitting there. And they come in, you know, and these boys are huge. And they take one look, you know, and one or two of them shook their heads and just turned back. True story. You know, and then they just left me sitting there, and I was, you know, and then when they left, I said, "Nah, that's what I'm talking about." Then I spread out on the table, you know, spread my everything out. It's a true story, you know. And why am I telling you this? Because when you have the power, because in those days I had the power of the Holy Ghost, and I still do now. I had the power, and I didn't back down from anybody. Didn't matter who you were. I just did my own thing, you know, and the Lord, the angel of the Lord, and his glory was always protected. Amen? If you walk a life of righteousness, the Lord will take care of your business. That's the way it is. See, he will take care of your business. And I tell you what, pretty soon, you know, the believers started having our own table too. And those people that used to terrorize people, they started to be afraid, you know, of the believers. Now, back in my days, it was actually, you know, it was the thing was to be one of these one-way people. They used to call us one-way or Jesus people or whatever, you know, because they knew we were different, and they had the power, you know, they knew we had the power. And we affected our generation. And I want to challenge, I know some of you are affecting your generation, you know. We want you to affect your generation even more. Amen. And we don't want you to back down from anybody. I'll tell you another story. There was this one young man. We invited him several times to our fellowship. He never came. And he wanted to be a part of these pirates. You know, and he hung out with them. And one day I was going to the dorm back from my class schedule. And this dorm had this long, you know, the dorm was built in a way that, you know, it had several entries. But you could also enter from, you know, several rooms back and then just walk down through the middle of it. Or you could go outside the corridor and then come in. Anyway, this one day, for no reason that I knew, other than the Lord was just guiding me, I decided to enter the farthest part of the dorm. It was a straight dorm. And that part was where all the pirates, you know, lived. And then we lived on the other end. And I decided to enter through that place. Because I knew the pirates. I knew, you know, pirates were there. But I just wanted to just dare them to do something. So I walked through there. And as I was walking, and nobody ever walked through the middle of that place. I just decided I was going to walk through that place. I walked through there, and as I was walking, I saw this young man. This was a young man that we had invited several times to come, and he wouldn't. And he wanted to join the pirates. I saw him rolling on the floor. And then all these guys were standing around looking at him. I think that day they were trying to initiate him. And he gave him all this concoction, I found out later, to drink. You know, and the thing got the better of him, and he was almost dying that day, and nobody could help him. And as I was passing by, I saw him. I just walked by. He grabbed me and my foot, you know. And I said, you know, and I turned my attention to him. What do you want? You know, and he said, so he whispers in my ear, you know, because I bent down and said, what do you want? So he whispers to me that I should pray for him. And I'm like, pray for you? Why? You know. I said, say it loud. You know, because he was like, pray for me. You know, he didn't want anybody to hear that. You know, he wanted prayer. And I said, say it loud, let everybody hear. And as soon as I said that, you know, I got all the attention of everybody. You know, and they said, you know, so he finally said, I want you to pray for me, you know. Then I turned around, look at all the hefty young, hefty big guys that were standing around. I said, excuse me, I want to pray for him. And all of a sudden they all kept quiet. I bent over that guy. He was all bent over, twisted up, and so forth like that. And I found out later he'd been there for like an hour. I bent down. I said, I rebuke that foul spirit. Come out of him in Jesus' name. You know, everybody was looking at me. I didn't care who they heard me or didn't care. You know, the next thing I know, he jumped up from there. He ran into the bathroom. Boy, you need to see what came out of him that day. And he came. He was completely back to himself, and they said he had been like that for over an hour. And when I said that short prayer, I seen all those boys that didn't believe anything. They said amen. And all through the school back in those days, they respected the power of God. Amen? Because we didn't back down. Now, I want you, those of you who are in school, young people, don't back down from anybody. You've got that power. Praise the name of the Lord. And let them see that you are different. You know? Praise God. Amen. If somebody is sick, you know, step up to the plate and rebuke the devil. You know, don't pray any politically correct prayer. Praise the Lord. You know, I never prayed a politically correct prayer. I rebuke the devil. You see, because some people, you know, just pray, you know, God, let everything be fine. Who is God? You know, don't be politically correct. Jesus Christ is the Lord. See, don't hide under God and so forth like that. You know, everybody believes in God, even the devil. It is the name of Jesus that makes the devil to tremble. Praise the name of the Lord. Use that name openly, and that's how you can speak with the enemies in the gate. And all you got to do, if you walk in the life, you know, there's a song that we used to sing, you know, when I was in high school. It says, he who is noble. It wasn't even a Christian song. But I love the song because it carried a message. And, you know, for years, even after, you know how a song just stays with you? I mean, songs is something that just stays with you. He who is noble, you know, kind in word and action, you know, faithful to duty, pure and simple hearted. He said, needs not a weapon. He said, virtue. That song was about virtue. You know that if you have virtue and you walk the straight line, defends the person. He said, virtue will defend you. That's the same as the glory of God will defend you when you are walking the line of righteousness. Amen? And when you are walking that line, you can stand tall, you can speak with the enemies in the gate, and you can push that devil down. You know? And don't be politically correct about it. You know, just, you know, you use the name of Jesus. Now, you know one thing that the people of the world, and this is not just for young people, in fact, this is more, you know, for adults and everybody else, you know, this part that I'm about to say. You know, people of the world, you know, when they come back on Monday to work or whatever, they're going to tell you the nightclub that they went to on Saturday, right? They're going to tell you the nightclub and the guy they went out with and all the kind of fornication and evil they did. I mean, they're ready to say it on top of the mountain. You know, they don't care. They're going to say it anyway. And then the people of God, they don't say anything. They just hide in their corner. Well, we don't want to, you know, mix with this or whatever excuse, you know, they did. Why don't you just shout it on the housetop just like they do? Why don't you come back on Monday and say, "Woo! You ought to have been in my church last night or yesterday. There was the power of God moving. People were healed and saved." You know, and just shout the glory or just jump up and say, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord." And somebody's going to say, you know, you're going to get somebody's attention. Amen? You know, that's how to be radical and be different, you know, and so forth like that. You're going to get somebody's attention, you know, when you sing the praise of the Lord. Not in your mind, when you open your mind. But as a lady in this church, I mean, she didn't come here at all, but she, through a brother that used to go to church here, this church right here, you know, they walked in the same place, and then she seen this brother every day, to sing some songs, you know, and she just be singing. I mean, we're singing the glory of the Lord, you know, not just some useless songs, you know. But so one day she said, so she, you know, talked to him and so forth and found out what, you know, what was the reason for his job. The next thing we know, this lady doesn't come to church here. She started to send some huge fat offerings here, and I used to wonder, who is this person? I didn't even know the person until we found the story. And she was saying that, wow, you know, because the brother, you know, was a part of this church, and said, whatever church you go, that's where I want to send, even though she didn't go to church herself, you know. I mean, and I thought that was strange, you know. It's not about the money, but I just thought it was a strange thing that somebody's testimony, somebody's beaming of joy and light in their office, you know, spoke volumes to somebody else. Amen? So everywhere you are, speak with the enemies in the gate. Speak with the enemies in the gate and don't let anything, you know, hold back your faith. Praise God. Praise God. And the greatest weapon that you can have against the devil, you know, is your own righteousness and your obedience. That's what he says. When your own obedience is fulfilled, that's when you can bring down the strongholds. That's when you can cast down imaginations. You know, for the weapons of our warfare are not fine, I said, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down strongholds and doing all of these things and being in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your own obedience is fulfilled. So your own very life of righteousness is the greatest weapon that you have. Praise ye the Lord. Now, this was just, that's the end of the exhortation for tonight. This was just the beginning, you know, of what we are going to do in these youth nights. Because we want to, first of all, change the paradigm that, you know, well, everybody does it, everybody needs to, you know, struggle with sin and so forth. We want to get rid of that. You know, nobody, you know, needs to live that kind of life. If you want to be a child of God, if you are living in sin, I'm summarizing now what we said. If you're living in sin, or if you commit sin, you are the servant of sin.
And God doesn't want you to live that kind of life. God wants you to live a righteous life, and let no man deceive you. He that works righteousness is righteous, just like he is righteous. We cannot overemphasize that. You know, that's, you know, those are the lack of righteousness and the lack of living a life that is pleasing to God, you know, is like a canker worm that is killing that church. And especially among the younger generation. You know, so we encourage those of you who are children of light, stand up and shine for Jesus. The Bible says, you know, in this crooked generation, you shine among them as lights. So stand up and shine and speak with the enemies of the gate. Let your even your own righteousness speak, you know, but you speak with your mouth too. You know, don't be a closet Christian. You know, that nobody knows who you are. They can't even tell. Somebody once said that if you went on trial for being a believer in Christ, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Think about that. That's a question I want to ask every one of you here tonight. If they brought you into trial and they had a jury of your peers, and you are being accused of a believer or a holy roller. That's right. We were called holy rollers in those days. And I liked it. You know. Because be ye holy as I am holy, saith the Lord. That's exactly what he wanted her to be. So don't think that there's no pride or arrogance about it. That's what he wants you to be. Be ye therefore perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Will there be enough evidence to convict you if they put you on trial with a jury of your peers? Will there be evidence to convict you that you are a believer in Christ, a follower of Christ? Think about that. If the answer is no, then you've got a long way to go. If they cannot convict you, evidence with evidence among your peers that you are really a believer, then that means you are no different from them. Because, and how will they, you know, if they can't see any light in you, they can't see the light, they can't see anything, you just act like them, you do the same thing, you do everything they do, and so forth like that, then there's not going to be any evidence to convict you that you are a believer. So think about that. Praise God. Yeah. But if they can convict you with evidence of being a believer, then you've got something to show. Praise God. And when he comes, you know, he'll have a great reward for you. And remember the message on Sunday, those of you who are here, you know, the suffering that you do for Christ, the little sufferings and everything that you do, you know, will bring you great reward. Praise God. Let's stand to our feet today and think about that for just a few minutes. Will there be enough evidence to convict you if you are on trial for being a believer in Christ with a jury drawn from among your peers or drawn from your co-workers? Will there be evidence to convict you? As you are right now, can you speak with the enemies in the gate effectively? Or will the devil say, Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you? Do you have that power to live a righteous life? Can you do it? Do you have the will to submit your will to God? Well, it's because you have to submit in order for him to help you. Do you think that it is possible to live that life of righteousness? Can you walk the walk? And can you talk the talk?
Can you be identified with Christ, no matter where you are? And can you put the enemy to shame, rather than your life bringing shame to Christ? Can you put the enemy to shame in the gates? Can you? I want everybody to take a few minutes and just talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord about the things we have heard tonight. I want you to talk to the Lord because He it is that can help us. He it is that can help you. He it is that can give you the grace in the inner man to run the race and to be strong for the race. And not only to start the race, but to keep on going on every day, strong for the race. Will you be strong for the race that you are running? Or will you let the cares of this life, friendship with the world, choke it out? Remember, if any man love this world, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes, all that is in the world is not of the Father. If any man love that world, he said, the love of God is not in him. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will re-energize every one of us, particularly our youth, to take a stand for Christ in Jesus' mighty name. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Help us, O Lord, to be filled with the knowledge of Christ and to walk in the paths of righteousness every day, to put on the breastplate of righteousness, you said, and to follow after you, to follow hard after you, even as the scripture has said, say, ye shall serve the Lord. Ye shall follow hard after the Lord. And as we follow the Lord, we know, Lord, that you will give us that power to live a victorious life. We pray that you will give everybody an understanding of this exhortation, to know that it is possible to live a righteous life, and it is possible to live a sinless life. All things are possible to him that believes. And as we walk in this life of righteousness, empower us, O Lord, with the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to speak with the enemies in the gate. Bringing down the forces of darkness in this crooked generation, causing these young people that love the Lord in their hearts to shine for Christ and not be subdued under sin. Blessed be thy name, Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Give the Lord a praise and clap offering.